Word on Today FM.
And so it's time for the last word of music. We have Dee Reddy and John Cadell with us. And let's talk about a gig or a weekend that's already sold out, as it always sells out, even before the first acts are ever revealed. But Dee Reddy, tell us please, who's going to be at Electric Picnic next August?
Yes, some pretty exciting people announced. So they announced Gorillaz for the top slot, and then Fontaines DC will play the Sunday night before them. So that is absolutely class. Then the lineup also includes someone who's just become a complete global superstar in the last year, and that is the Irish artist C-Mat. And then there's also Zara Larsson, Wonder Horse, Role Model, and one name that I know John Cadell will love is Geese.
Actually,
I thought you were about to say Wet Leg there for a second.
Geese are actually a really good band. It's a pity about the band name.
Well, they very often are when you're bemoaning the names.
No, don't know about that, Dee, but Geese in particular are a very good band, yeah.
What do you think of the lineup, John?
I'm impressed, actually. Sometimes it can be...
Although Gorillaz are playing, I know, because I'm going with one of my daughters and her boyfriend to see Gorillaz in the Three Arena either in March or April. They're here next year.
Yes, they are. But what a band to headline a festival. I mean, they have
an absolute
arsenal of hits. I'm actually excited about Electric Picnic 2026. I wasn't overly enthused about the last lineup, but the first nine or so acts on this is it's very, very heartening. I think it's going to be a great weekend even already.
I'm already thinking of two nights in the Soundgarden rather than one.
You are?
Yeah.
Good. Well, we can have like Mac Cooper's Block Rock and Beats.
No. Karaoke Cooper. Excuse me, John.
Oh, you
missed
what
happened in
Count
August.
Count me in for that.
Yeah. I had conveniently forgotten about that.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it? Are you giving out again that you weren't asked to go to home with us?
Well, I didn't have a particular thing. I'm not a performing monkey, Matt, but anyway, carry on.
That gives me a bit of time to get a new karaoke song, because I used to do Betty Davis Eyes, but after that awful JoJo Siwa cover, I've had to retire it.
Okay, well, Matt, you'll be down there, will you?
I will, of course.
Good.
I've already just said it. I'm thinking now doing two nights instead of one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's already sold out, everybody, so hard luck.
Just to remind us of what Gorillaz are like, here's Clint Eastwood live at the Copper Box Arena in London last April. Bit of Gorillaz there. John, it is remarkable. I say nearly every other festival which launches ahead of Christmas and hope is selling tickets as Christmas presents and the rest of it must be envious of Electric Picnic, which sells out literally a week after it's held in August.
Yeah, well,
the
thing about it is, like, we always talk about the music lineup, but it's so much more than the music, Electric Picnic. It's the experience of the weekend. I mean, some people go for the food. You know, there's also all the spoken word.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go for the food, no.
Well, you mightn't. I might. You know, there's sort of all the different array of stuff that you can have. There's also the caravan.
Have you not ever heard of those various apps that you can actually get delivery to your own home? It's nothing more than food stalls. Now, in fairness, it's not a foodie festival. Come on.
It's not a food. No, it's not a foodie festival, but people.
It's very much an eat to subsist kind of environment.
Yeah, there used to be more emphasis on the food in years gone by, I think, that there would be something different, a little special. But now it's just you're fairly basic, and people giving out about the price for a spice bag or whatever. You're looking
great
stunned,
festival
John.
Food, though. You can eat it while you're walking around.
Absolutely, and I'm not giving out about that. I actually think that's appropriate to the circumstances. But I just think John is overselling things here a little bit.
Well, there's also...
But you're right. In years gone by, there used to be kind of special brunches and stuff. And
I've lost interest. Do you want my opinion or not? Because both of you keep on interrupting me. Anyway, I was saying, we always talk about the music lineup, but it's about far more than that. Like, there's the Salty Dog stage, there's the Spoken Word stage,
yes.
There's all the Electric Arena, there's all of the, like, the fairground, there's the camping experience, which some people love, some people don't. But it's all about getting out of your usual routine for the weekend.
You just reminded me, I was on the Dodgem cars this August, indeed. I hadn't been on one of those for a while.
Dodgy
I could
cars.
Bring you out and actually just...
Matt, you never go anywhere with me.
That would be dangerous.
You never go anywhere.
There's no music slot to come back to.
You can go anywhere with me. All the time I offer and never goes anywhere. And I was talking about
bringing even
the
Dodgems.
No. Not even the Dodgems.
Anyway.
You push them out of a carousel.
Good luck.
When it has come back to ground.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Obviously.
So look, it's looking good. You know, the music lineup, there's always a couple of absolute legends in there as well. So wonder who it'll be next year. You know, you want somebody along the lines of maybe the Pretenders or somebody just to add it.
I think Nile Rodgers turns up every year, doesn't he? But he was great value last year.
Yeah,
as well.
He was. So, and there's about 100 more acts to be announced, I'd say. So keep your ears peeled.
Okay. Well, we won't have Daniel O'Donnell there. He's taking a 2-year sabbatical.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I mean, it's funny, Daniel, because he says he still has other stuff going on, like Opry Le Daniel and other things that he does. So it's not a full 2 years off, but it's the first time he says in his career that he's actually taking an extended break. And sure, doesn't he deserve it? He used to be a bit of a laughing stock, Daniel, didn't he? Like back 20, 25 years ago, he was like the Father Ted character, Owen McLove, was based on him. But he seems to be retroactively cool or something.
Is he?
I think he is. Yeah, Daniel's a bit cool
now. I think he's
now.
Got a kitsch value that younger people really, really appreciate because
they used to listen to the music with their grannies, is it?
Well, maybe, but I think there's also something, you know, there's something quite innocent or inoffensive about his kind of public persona. I'm not saying either of those things, you know, I'm not saying he's an inoffensive person. That's like saying someone's harmless. But what I mean is he is pretty unproblematic but also represents a sort of bygone era. And I think people like that.
Well, he's certainly not P. Diddy. We're going to talk about the new...
What a swerve.
Let's talk about the new Netflix series, which is causing a little bit of trouble because 50 Cent, it's been accused of using stolen footage. Tell us all about this, Dee.
Yeah, so basically Sean Diddy Combs' lawyers have sent now a cease and desist to Netflix claiming that the trailer and presumably by extension the docuseries, which is called The Reckoning.
Which I think is out today. I think it's due to be out
today.
That's
right, yeah. It's called Sean Combs' The Reckoning. It's released today and it's reported that 50 Cent has been working on this documentary for years and that footage that featured in the trailer actually belongs to him. Now, I have to say, I don't know if I would be throwing my hat into the legal ring that is the Sean Diddy Combs case over some stolen footage. I would be keeping stum that I had anything to do with it.
Because remind us, where is P. Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs these days?
He is slightly different genre to usual. He's doing the Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, he's doing a stretch,
yeah.
Doing time.
Indeed.
If I was him, so I'd be trying maybe to not remind people about the activities which had him sent to jail instead of like bringing it up in a court case. You're right, Dee.
There's a long-running feud between him, though, and 50 Cent, isn't there?
Well, when all of the trial was going on and when P. Diddy was exposed, like there was a certain amount of schadenfreude on 50 Cent's Twitter account. So, like, if you're in any doubt as to whether or not 50 Cent was a fan of Sean Combs or not, his social media accounts definitely set you right.
You know, when you consider what he has been accused of and charged with and found guilty of, it's kind of gratifying on some part that there were some people in that world that wanted nothing to do with him.
Mm, true.
Okay, let's talk about somebody else who's going to be playing an Irish gig in 2026. Let's hear a bit of Maroon 5, Sugar.
Baby.
Maroon 5, who'll be playing Malahide Castle in Dublin on the 30th of June next year. First gig in Ireland since 2014. Is that an apt track to play a little bit of their D in that Maroon 5, brief sugar rushes in the music and then easily forgotten?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you should say that, because when I saw that they were playing, I went, meh, do I really care? And then I looked back through their back catalogue. They do have a lot of hits, which is kind of bizarre to me for a band that have quite little cultural cut through, for want of a better way to phrase it. They have managed to kind of ride through a number of different eras of indie pop. And yet Adam Levine or Levine and the band themselves don't seem to have the same cultural resonance, nor indeed, as you say, do the songs.
What do you think, John?
I think it'll sell out. It'll definitely sell out. I agree with Dee with regard to their cultural impact. I'm not really sure what they're for. I'm not really sure what their purpose is, because so many other bands do what they do far better than they do. Their front man, it says here that the Los Angeles band, led by charismatic front man, is Adam Levine charismatic? I would never have thought so. If you drawing on your arms doesn't really like sum up charismatic to me, I wouldn't have thought he was even considered in like lists of great front men. They're just sort of there and they do their thing and they do it fine and people like it. And Malahide Castle will sell out. But I'm not sure when the annals of popular music are written. And
yeah, but aren't there a few tracks that'll get people on their feet? This Love, Moves
yeah,
Like, I mean, Jagger, She Will Be Loved.
Like, people, they're very much in the kind of music that, you know, if you were DJing at a wedding, which I often do, you know, if you played a track by theirs, you'd get people of all age groups up on the dance floor.
They're like Daniel O'Donnell.
That's something nice I can say about them.
They're like Daniel
O'Donnell.
They're
like Daniel, yeah. They're grand. They're grand. They're there and they're going to fill out the Malahide Castle and everyone who's there will have a grand old time.
Okay.
Well, I have to say, I think Daniel O'Donnell has a lot more cultural resonance.
I'd sooner see Daniel, anyway.
So you won't be going to Malahide Castle for that. Okay, Pitchforks unveiled its best 100 songs for 2025. Why are you sniggering and chuckling, John?
Because about 7 people have heard of these bands. It's just peak Pitchfork. It's like, I know more bands than you do. And
do you write for Pitchfork?
No, but
you should.
But I'm not.
Do you know, I always assumed that the name Pitchfork came from the kind of notion of, you know, medieval people gathering around somebody's house with pitchforks to kind of tear them apart. But that's not actually where it came from. But it comes from some sort of reference to the movie Scarface. But I think that kind of sums up their style of critiquing better than anything, that I actually genuinely believed that for years, that it was that they were going to try and tear people down.
Now, people always accuse me of being a music snob, and I really amn't. This is music snobbery.
Okay, number 10 is Geese
and Taxes. Okay, yeah.
Number 9, James K. Play.
Fine.
Number 8, Babyface E. Okay, with PTP Remix.
Yeah.
Then there's Wednesday with Townies. Mm. Pink Panthers.
Okay.
I've heard of her.
Pink Panthers.
Yeah.
Okay. Track is Illegal. Number 5 is Ryan Davis and the Roadhouse Band. New Threats from the Soul. Mm-hmm. Number 4, Addison Rae.
Yeah,
headphones
heard of
on.
Addison Rae, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Amaray.
SMO, yeah.
Okay. Smurs, mm-hmm. There's a name, man. You must love that. Yeah. You Got Time and I Got Money is number 2.
Yeah.
And let's hear a little bit of the number 1, the best song of 2025, according to Pitchfork, even though it actually came out in December 2024, Cameron Winter.
I'm sure this will be the first time most of our listeners have heard this song.
Love Takes Miles.
Left me promising your shoes. Open up.
interesting.
Is it?
Yeah. It is, John, yeah.
It sounds like there's two different songs going on. It sounds like something Dee would recommend as her pick of the week.
Oh, Jesus. Dee, do you want to respond to that dig?
I heard mention of my name. I couldn't hear the rest of it.
He said it's the type of thing you'd pick as your pick of the week.
Well, I never did pick that one, but I'm happy to report, because I know we're not doing it till next week. It won't be on my list of songs of the year.
Had you heard that song before, Dee?
I think I had heard it once, and then it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the album is heavy metal, and he's the front.
Heavy going, I'd say.
He's the front person for Geese, who came in at number 10 with Taxes.
Right. Okay.
Okay, well then let's go and get your picks of the week. So in that case, so what are you going for, John?
Well, I've gone for a reissue of an album that came out 40 years ago, and it's a 2-disc deluxe edition of Prince's follow-up to Purple Rain. It was called Around the World in a Day, and after all the record label were saying, do Purple Rain Part 2, he went off and did the exact opposite. It's now a 2-disc set, so you got loads of remixes, including, Matt, I know you're particularly happy about this, the 22-minute 12-inch version of America, which is making its debut on CD. But look, the extras are fine and the remixes are great for completists, but the album itself is astonishing, as only Prince in his imperial period was, and this is Raspberry Beret.
Built like she was, she had the nerve to ask me. So look here, I put on the back of my bike, you know, we went riding down by old man Johnson's farm. I said, now overcast days never turned me on, but something about the clouds and her mixed. She wasn't too bright, but after damn, when she kissed me, she knew how to get a kiss. She wore a
John, for once, I'm going to forgive you for a reissue, because that's just so good.
Isn't it, though? Like, it is. Can that be nominated as Pitchfork Song of the Year? Because I think everyone's heard it.
Okay.
It's a super song.
What's your pick, T, please?
Something that is, I hope, a little bit easier on the ears than Cameron Winter. It is the latest from Dive Boy, who are a fantastic up-and-coming Irish group.
John is mouthing who here, by the way, Dee?
Oh, for goodness sake, so mind him. He'll know who they are in 20 years when they release a reissue. but their tenderly euphoric new single, Solar Sister, came out last Friday.
Let's hear it.
A dream upon a dream. Times are tough and you've been running out of steam. Though times have changed, I swear I'll stay the same. I drove to meet you at your house this afternoon. Outside your parents' kid, I sat there like a fool.
Okay, that is Dee Reddy's pick of the week, and that is Dive Boy with Solar Sister.
I'm going to say I like that.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that.
You've been very generous to end out. Thank you very much, John Cadell, Dee Reddy.
The Last Word on Today FM.